The title of my message this morning is The Faith of a Mother. The Faith of a Mother. We all remember in 2015, we can't forget that this crazy occurrence, this was yet another incident in the Black Lives Matter movement. We know that what occurred in 2013 with Trayvon Martin. We see that Freddie Gray, a 25-year-old young black man, was arrested. And while he was being transported to the police station, he suffered a lethal spinal cord injury. And unexplained, you know, they put him in there shackled with his arms, shackled with his feet, but no seatbelt. And we see that this occurred in Baltimore, Maryland. And this was the beginning of days of rioting, of days of unrest. See, what happened was officers Garrett Miller and Alicia White were awaiting trial over the week after he suffered this injury sometime during the riot. All charges were later dropped, sparking this outrage in Baltimore and eventually across the nation. His death fueled, as we all know. But then circa, enter Tanya Graham. She was a single mother of six children. She denounced the vandalism, the violence that was going on against the police officers. She would go there every day, observing the events of that day, seeing that the rioting and the unrest and trying to talk people, don't do this. This is not the way to go about justice for Freddie. But one day, she was there, and she happened to, if all the commotion that was going on and of all the things happening, she happened to see this gangly young man dressed up in all black with a hoodie on. And he was about to pick up a brick. And she was, if all the people there that was going on, she just happened to notice, I know that person. It was her son. Her son had, at that point, had managed to evade detection. He got past the police. He got past the other rioters. He got past his friends. But let me tell you something in life. You ain't getting past mama. Graham told CBS News that she launched into action after spotting her 16-year-old son, Michael, wearing his hoodie. At that point, she said, I just lost it. She saw him. She grabbed him by his collar, popped him upside his head. What are you doing out here doing this? This was the response of a mother's love. See, where we see that whether you believe in what she was doing, we see that this sparked again the intense capability of who she was. See, this video later sparked, it went viral, and everybody began to look at her and her rage seeing her son. See, it wasn't just about her reaction. See, whether you support this or not, one thing is undeniable, that she wanted to save her son from himself. See, this is how all mothers, grandmothers, aunts, sisters, caregivers feel. Not just from crime, but to mark a course in a productive life. Mothers have a focus. They have a purpose. They want to instill within us values that are critical. We see that Christ has given us Christ-like qualities. See, God has instilled a special love in mothers and women at creation, which is a subset of himself. See, mothers are truly special. See, some qualities of mothers, they have immense patience to deal with us, our knuckleheads. Strong, they're humble, they're empathetic, they're respectful, they're authoritative, because you know when mama looks, you better act. Supportive, loving, they're nurses, they're counselors, they're referees, and they're even arbitrators. I mean, many times, me and my brother, well, more so my brother, I was the youngest. We'll be in fisticuffs and as I'm in a headlock by my brother, you know, my mother said, why don't you gotta stop all this clowning. I'm like, clowning? He's the one that has me. I'm the one subdued here. But we see that she steps in and she comes in. She's the arbitrator here. See, let's go to the God's word and let's talk a little bit about this Syrophoenician woman. See, to explore the virtuous courage of this amazing woman. We see that Mark 7, and go back to our memory verse. It started off in verse 24. It says, and from there he arose and went away to the region of Tyre and Sidon. You can look at it in your bulletins. And he entered a house and did not want anyone to know, yet he could not be hidden. But immediately a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile, a Syrophoenician at birth, and she begged him to cast out this demon out of her daughter. And he said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." Now you think that that's a very peculiar response. Verse 28, but she answered him, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." And he said to her, "For this statement, you may go your way. The demon has left your daughter." And she went home and found her daughter there. You know, we see that this was a very interesting story and a very important transition in Christ's ministry, because this passage reveals his major transition. See, up until this time, most of his time administrating was within the territories of Israel and the Jewish nations. He did not venture out yet into the Gentile world, but this was his first stop, and he had not gone into the other areas, but his fame and fortune preceded him, and people began to hear about his ministry. We see that during this retreat into a largely Gentile region, a woman approached Jesus for help. Mark introduced the account of the strong adversative conjunctions in the Greek word Allah, but recording the fact that in contrast to the need of seclusion, a notable scene developed. See, we see in Mark 7:25 reveals that when the woman heard that Jesus was in the area, she came immediately to tell, and she fell at his feet. Now, this is interesting something about this mother. See, the people in this district were all they were from the Canaanite race, and they were idolaters, and they were despised and hated by the Jews. But what's interesting about this is that she, again, she was an idol worshiper. She wasn't a Christian, but she'd heard these stories. She said, "I want to know. I want to hear. I want to intercede for my baby." We see that she even, and you know, we begin to wonder. She took her child to the priest. She took her child to the pagan priest and besieged them. "What can you do for my baby?" But they could do nothing. So that's where it began to percolate. As she heard of his power, hope sprang up in her heart. Inspired by a mother's love, she determined to present her daughter's case to the one that she was hearing about. It was her resolute purpose to bring her afflictions to Jesus. Again, she tried other options. She went to all of the pagan gods, and there was many of them, but none of them had an answer. He must heal my child, she thought. And then she said in her mind, which is interesting sometime with us, she sought help, but she said, "Will this Jewish teacher be willing to help me?" But the word had come that he heals all manner of diseases, whether you're rich or poor. She determined not to lose her hope. So she said, "I'm going to take a chance." We're talking about a mother's love. Now, Jesus gave an interesting response here. Mark explained that she was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by race. She was a Greek-speaking lady who was a Gentile. She kept asking, in imperfect tense, him to cast forth the demon from her daughter. Matthew related that her request was formed in a way, have mercy on me, Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a demon. But he answered her not a word. Now, his disciples, watching this discourse, they in their minds, see, remember now, they were Jews, and they were falling in line with the prejudice and the bias that was going on within their nation. And so they had the same attitudes as their countrymen. And they looked at Jesus, and when Jesus was kind of had that attitude of indifference, they were in line with that, to the point where they began to urge Jesus to send her away, Lord. She is not deserving of you. But yet, we see that Jesus replied by saying, "I was not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But she came and worshiped him, saying, 'Lord, help me.' And he said to her, 'Let the children be filled first.'" And it was not, you know, to meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. Jesus used the diminutive form of the term dogs or little dogs, because the woman clearly perceived that even in the house, the dogs have a place in our family, in our household. So we see we have this peculiar response. But it's interesting. The woman followed the Lord's parable, acknowledging the distinction implied by his words. Perhaps she saw a glimmer of hope in the word first, but for Jesus implicitly revealed that while there was a redemptive priority for the Jews, the blessing of heaven is for everybody. See, with a remarkable insight and persistence, she replied, "Yea, Lord, even the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs." Jesus responded, "For this saying go the way, the demon has gone from your daughter." Oh, what faith. This saying, as replied by Jesus, evidenced a great faith on her part. Matthew records the assessment of our Lord. "O woman, great is thy faith." God is basically was teaching his disciples. Now you guys are coming to school because I'm up in my game in my ministry here. Because of her faith expressed in her thoughtful exchange with Jesus, the Lord granted her request for a miracle. The verb is gone out. It's the perfect tense reflecting the Lord's control and power over everything. He controls nature, and he definitely controls the spirit world. He tells the demons where to go and where to come, and he says, "Get out of that baby girl." And they left. As we've seen it. So what are some of the valuable lessons that we can learn from this story? Well, number one, this lady had great spiritual insight. She was a heathen, but yet sometimes she reacted even more so than a Christian. See, she was not asking the Lord to alter his way of implementing the plan of God, which would later be carried out by the apostles and you know, to the Jews first and also to the Greeks. She was simply asking for a crumb. Faith is based upon the understanding the will of God and is founded upon knowledge, not mere emotions. You know, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. And what? The evidence of things not seen. What is this saying? Basically, substance is literal. Substance is tangible. Substance is not a concept. Substance is not, it's not a figment of our imagination. Substance is based on reality. Remember now, this woman went to the gods of her gods, of stone and wood. She went to her temples and her priests. She went to all these people. They couldn't help her. But she was desperate, because what mother is not desperate to have her child healed? She went to, and so she heard these things, and whenever she heard, there would be doubts in her mind. She would recall, well, the priest didn't help me. My God didn't help me. Maybe this Jesus can help me. See, he already knows, God already knows what you will ever need before you get there. He just needs you to walk that timeline to meet him there. The fact of the matter is that Christ knew she was coming. He was waiting on her. But he wanted to use that as an opportunity to teach his boys what I'm all about. Number two, this mother illustrates the connection between faith and unfavorable circumstances. See, great faith will rely upon the Son of God. Faith becomes stronger in times of distress for those who tenaciously depend on God. How many times have we been there? How many times have we been in a situation where it's like our becoming dire by the moment? Our faith will grow strong because we become desperate. Her faith was sprung by the lack of success in those heathen gods. She sought other resources to no resolve. So the Lord began to speak to her. And she began to recognize that there's a better way. See, it's not the load that breaks you down. Thank you, sir. It's the way you carry that load. Many times we try to carry this thing on our own. But we know that even in the heathen nations, even in the world, God is working on our character. It's not, this message is not just unique to us. We were given it so we could tell them about it. God sends trials to prove he will withstand a faithful under temptation. See, God was testing her faith. Even though she had never been to church, she had never picked up a Bible, she had never been in Bible studying, Bible class, Lord was still testing her faith, because God puts us all through the same situations. You see that he brings all to trying positions to see if they will trust in a power out of and above themselves. She, again, went to the powers of the other time, and they couldn't help her. Everyone has undisclosed traits of character that must come to light through trial. God allows, and I repeat, God allows those who are self-sufficient to be sorely tempted, that they may understand their helplessness. Many times when we deal with the situation we're dealing with, God is revealing some things in us. God is helping us to understand who we are and what our deficiencies are. God will put us in situations that will test us. Many times we will confidently say, well, I would never do that. Never say never in this life. People always say that. Now, number three, this woman demonstrated that great faith seeks the welfare of others. See, those who trust in God will intercede for others. How much more ought to we be concerned about the spiritual welfare of those we love? See, it's one thing you recognize in this world, and mothers know this better than anybody, that's not just about us. You know, us as men, sometimes it's very easy for us to get caught up. You know, they always talk about how when men get sick, see, a woman gets sick, she'll do a little something, maybe, and she'll get up, clean the house, get her kids ready for school. She get them out. She'll do their homework. She's 100, favorite 101, but helping the little boy with his homework. Where a man gets sick, oh, baby, I don't know if I'm going to make it. Let's just be honest about this thing. Every experience in this life has tributaries, meaning that whatever we deal with is not just independent of us. Somebody's watching you. You're impacting somebody. We're just a circle that's spread like a spoked wheel going in all these different directions. God has a way of working with us, just like he worked with this mother. Number four, this Gentile lady showed the relationship of faith and humility. Now, this is very important for us. Her humble disposition complemented her genuine faith. Great faith is seeing one's complete dependence on God. See, this is what's interesting about this world. We live in a world where people want to stand up. I am somebody. Yeah, you're somebody. But you're still being subjected to something in this life. Many times people say, well, what are you talking about? See, it is enough to settle for crumbs as long as I am at or near the table, Jesus' table. We must humble ourselves when coming to the Savior. Do you realize that if we never humble ourselves, we will never be received by our loving Savior because there's nothing in us. We have no abilities. If the Lord decided, I want my breath back, what are we going to do about that? Are we even aware of what's happening? You know, many times when we're sleeping, I joke about this all the time. You know, we don't know what's going on when we sleep. We could have swallowed a spider. How would you know? Except seeing maybe remnants of it. We wake up in the morning. We don't know. But God is watching over us. Basically, my point is that we have to submit ourselves to God who sees all, who knows all, who he loves us immensely. We have to learn to be faithful, and we have to humble ourselves. We don't have all the answers. We go to the doctor and say, we ask the doctor, figure this thing out for me. You know, they're like, well, you know, do you realize many of the doctors, they're Googling with you. The Syrophoenician woman taught us that great faith endures. See, she was steadfast and resilient in her request of the Lord. Reminiscent of the woman who pursued the unjust judge, she reminds us to always pray and never give up. We must be persistent in our request to pray. The Bible implores us to pray without ceasing. Many times, we think God is an ATM. We go up in there, we go put in our debit card. How many of you I've been there too. Where, I remember when I first started working, and I went up to the debit card, I went up to the ATM machine, and I put my card in, and I put the code in, and all of a sudden you start hearing this, and you're looking around saying, did anybody see? Take the card, walk away. I was just checking my balance. We have to understand that God is a God who loves us. He loves us so much. And we have to petition him. We must be persistent in our request to God. The Bible implores us to pray without ceasing. If we have an issue, if we have anything going on in our life, we have to just continue to give it to the Lord in prayer. Faith is not a movement. Faith is not how God operates in our lives. It's how he wants us to live. The fact of the matter is that we have to learn to just trust him in everything. We have to be persistent with him in everything. And finally, the distressed mother exemplified that great faith in the Son of God will result in great deliverance. See, although miraculous healings were confined to the first century during the infancy of the Christian church, we see that today everyone who will follow the Lord with obedient faith will be delivered from that which plagues all morally accountable people, and that is sin. See, I tell people all the time that the greater the trial, the what? The sweeter the blessing. So many times we on the precipice of a major breakthrough in our life. Things start to get even more concerning and more difficult. As we get closer to the mountaintop, many times we're met with more resistance. The devil sometimes sees your blessing. So he's trying to get you and not to be able to be willing to accept it. He's trying to get you curse God and die. We get closer and closer and closer. Many times the devil sees the Lord lining things up in your life. Wow, they're about to be measurably blessed. How can I discourage them to not look God's way? But we see that God will bless us regardless of what we say, what we do. We just have to trust him in everything. So as I wasn't going to be long today, we have to understand that God provides. See, prayer is asking God for what you don't have. Praise is anticipating the blessing in advance, saying, I know you would do this thing. Do we really trust the Lord? Last week we talked about a mustard seed faith. We talked about the ability, can you literally have the ability to move mountains? But the Bible talks about the level of faith that we serve a God with all power, the same God that parted the Red Sea. Christ says you have access to that power. The same God that fed the 5,000. God says you have access to that same power. The same God that said, let there be light. Came down into a basket, was born in a barn, in a trough. The same God that said, let the firmaments part, allowed himself to come as an infant. This is the same God. And see, we have to understand that we have access to the same power. And when we think of motherhood, it's the mother love of God. Because God says that he loves us so much that I'm going to come. He, as I said before, what can you imagine of creating something and then becoming what you created because you love them so much? He created us to be like him. But he became us so that he could save us. What love is that? May you find in yourself enough patience to endure and enough simplicity to have faith. We see we serve the God. He loves us so much. Christ wanted to reward her faith in him. But he was also wanted to show his disciples the hideousness of prejudice and how Christ had viewed it in their eyes. See, we're all his children. And this is the challenge for us today. He came to die for us all. He didn't just come to die for this one group of people. He didn't come to die for blacks, for whites, for red, for yellow. He came for everybody in this world. And then he wanted to demonstrate to his disciples, he said, listen, if you're going to be part of my posse, you need to understand that I love everybody, not just you. And that's what it's all about. See, we see that the Supreme Mother's love is demonstrated in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. What mother would be willing to do that? Not for us knuckleheads, but she did it anyway. That whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Finally, we must reach out to all. See, when he said, I am not sent unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel, he stated the truth. And in his work for the Canaanite woman, he was fulfilling his commission. The woman was one of the lost sheep that Israel should have rescued. But it was their appointed work, the work that they had neglected, that Christ was now beginning to do. This act opened the minds of his disciples more fully to the labor that lay before them among the Gentiles. They saw a wide field of usefulness outside of Judea. They saw souls bearing sorrows unknown to those more highly favored. Among those whom they had been brought and taught to despise were souls longing for help from the mighty healer, hungering for the light of truth, which had been abundantly given to the Jews. See, they began to recognize that God was more about them, was more than just them. See, being a mother, it's not about what you gave up to have a child, but what you gained in having one. Our Jesus Christ feels the same way about us. You know, many times we question whether God really loves me. But God says that he came down here. You think that the supreme creator of the universe, who demonstrated the love and mothers, said, I love these are my children. I love them so much that I will become one of them. I am a God that's omniscient, that's omnipresent, that's I'm not bound by time and space, but I'm willing to make that sacrifice for them because I love them so much. And he came, and he's still flesh and blood today. So we see that God loves us beyond boundless imagination. A mother's love loves her child like God loves us. In 1 John 4:10, where the Bible says, in this love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be a propitiation for our sins. We see also our faith must endure. James 1:2 tells us that, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let persevere finish its work, that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Sometime God is going to rub us, just like our parents sometime will rub us. Sometimes our parents are teaching us lessons. How many times I remember growing up as a kid and my mother would tell me, you know, she said, you will understand this one day. And I'm like, what are you talking about? It's clear now. And then I started getting older. Then I started having kids. And then all of a sudden, all the words that echoed in the back of my mind start, it's like a xylophone. You will understand this one day. It comes right back. It's just a cycle. And we see that we have to learn to trust in the Lord. Humble yourself before God, James 4:10. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. We have to humble ourselves before God. We can't be cocky about this thing. There's nothing in us. There's nothing about us. If it wasn't for the grace of Jesus Christ, where would we be? I remember my wife shared the testimony when I had my medical incident. And I remember that I didn't even know where I was. If it wasn't for my wife, the mother of my children, if she wasn't for her allowing the Holy Spirit to yearn her and to egg her on, to give her instructions. See, many times the Holy Spirit speaks to us, but we can resist. We can just say, I ain't doing it. To our peril. But the Holy Spirit prompted her, and things happened, one thing after another, to the point where now I was able to get help, all because of the yearning of a mother's love. She loves her children, she loved our children, and she loved me. Again, it just gives such great Bible lessons of how much God loves us. And then finally, in Romans 8:5-8, but God shows his love for us, that while we were yet still sinners, Christ died for us. See, the mother love of God through Christ is what saves us all. And I'm so thankful for this hope that he's given us today. Because for me, the world that we live in is so selfish. They're so self-centered. As I said before, you go to various countries that suppress women. That's not God's ideal. Sin has corrupted our minds so completely. But yet we act a fool. But one day, and this is the blessing and the blessed hope that I have, is that Christ is going to reveal himself to every one of us. If we don't believe him, he's going to show up one day. And he's like, don't let your heart be wanting. I'm giving you one more chance to make your calling and election sure. And I think that's so important. So as I wrapped up this message, I wasn't going to be long today, but I wanted us to understand that a mother's love is special. Like I said, a mother can deal with, as Elder Dave Gabriel expounded on, deal with intense pain. Be honest with you, if I had to carry a baby for 9 months, it ain't happening. But yet the Lord has instilled within them the wherewithal, the ability, not only to do that once, but maybe more and more. My father, my grandfather actually had, and this is all one woman. My grandfather was a twin, an identical twin, and his mother had 22 children, 6 sets of twins, one woman. Again, we say, now the Bible says be fruitful and multiply, you know, but I have my limits. But the fact of the matter is, oh yes, but the fact of the matter is that we see that God's love is proliferates in all of us. And if it wasn't for the mothers, where would we be today? And so I salute all the mothers. And first of all, as I close my message, I want to wish every mother, I want to wish every woman happy, blessed Mother's Day, because you have a special calling. Don't let this world try to undermine your gift, because that's the devil behind all of that, because the devil is jealous of your ability to procreate. He's the one that's lying and telling people that I can do this and I can do that, where he can't do nothing but cause pain and suffering. God's going to give him 1,000 years to prove his worth. He says, okay, devil, you've been dogging my steps all these years. Now, when I chain you to this earth, now I want you to show yourself. Show all the things that you have accused me of. Now, devil, create something. He don't like that. They say that every baby that's born, the devil cringes because he doesn't have the ability to create anything. So I just, as I want to lift up all the mothers today, I just ask that you please bow your heads. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for the special gift of motherhood. Because if it wasn't for my mother, I wouldn't be here to be about your work, to be able to go to school and to be able to study and be able to interact and be able to work. All these things would not be available to me because there would be no me. Thank you, Jesus, for allowing me to be here. Thank you for allowing us all to have an opportunity to live this life so that we can learn more about you. And it is our prayer that when we learn about you, that we will choose you this day who we will serve. And this will be an opportunity for us to be able to come together, because we know that soon and very soon you're coming back. With the mother's love, you have said that you've instituted a timeline, that you've told us that you're going to come back one day. You're going to come through the clouds of glory, and you're going to receive us all to yourself, that we may eventually make it into heaven and we will never be separated again. Thank you, Lord, for our hope, and I pray that you continue to lift us up and help us to hold our heads high, because we are children of the Almighty King. These things we ask in the holy name of Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Happy Mother's Day, and God bless you all.